Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 9th day of May, year 2021. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is miracles. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the program, Cumri Ambith. We are in the question and answer mode, and that means everybody's muted when they join the call until such time as you indicate you wish to speak. Then you will be put in the queue, and I take people in the queue in order, and then we will discuss whatever topic comes to your mind. Thank you, Ella. She says that the sound is good. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces. PastorDan.net, and we do recommend you check the Daily Mail page as often as you can. I've also updated recently the reading list and added probably another 30 or 40 books to that list. I keep finding them all the time. Many times people send me an article or whatever, I read it, and in the article or in the book there'll be references to other books. And again, in a day and age when many people don't even read anymore, it's a shame because there's a library of information out there. Because you got to remember, every book that's written represents the life experience of the author. You may not agree with the author on every issue, but the book represents his thoughts, his observations, and his struggle to obtain truth, if they're honest. It's like the old saying, when an old man dies, a library burns to the ground, okay? That's why we're to venerate and to show respect for our elders, the honest ones, because they have vast knowledge from their years of experience, and if we don't tap into that, shame on us. And by the way, for the ladies out there, happy Mother's Day, even though we don't celebrate much that the people in the outside world celebrate, but they're calling it Mother's Day. Actually, every day is Mother's Day. That's part of the reason for the title today about miracles. We're going to talk about a particular mother, but mothers in general, because of the extremely important role they play. Of course, in this upside-down world, the enemy has crept in, and he has debased the sacred womb of the mother and her mission upon this earth, so that most of the women today don't really even know what their role is, what their scriptural divine role is, and how important it is. Here again, everything is upside down, just as scripture told us as it would be in the days of Noah. It sure as hell is. Take a look around you. Everything has been corrupted, debased, polluted, so that, as the prophets told us, good would be called evil and evil would be called good. That's where we're at. Everywhere you turn. But on this day, we're going to honor mothers and miracles because, in a way, they're kind of there's a kind of synergy there, synchronicity, if you will. Because the birthing of a child is a miracle, okay? The whole process of the man and woman becoming one flesh, which if it's done properly, by the way, folks, that's a spiritual experience. I know there's a lot of mechanical people out there. I've talked to men and women both who treat the becoming one flesh as a euphemistic way of talking about having sex, okay? Intercourse, if you will, sexual intercourse. But really, it is a spiritual experience. If the two souls are of one accord, like-minded, etc., if they are divine partners, it will be a spiritual experience. And it is a miracle, okay? If you remember that the Greek and the Hebrew words that we have in our Bibles that label miracle, and today, because of Hollywood, everybody thinks of miracles as one thing, but you got to remember the terms used in the Greek and the Hebrew, they're talking about a sign, okay? A sign or a portent. It doesn't necessarily mean miracle as you and I think, based on our shitty public school training and the lamestream churches today and Hollywood run by a bunch of Zionist communists. Okay, so everything is upside down and distorted. So this miracle experience between these two people, if they are divinely joined together, it creates a child. And the whole process, if you study it at all, the whole process from conception to birth, and even what happens after birth, if you don't believe that's a miracle, you're crazy. I remember my first child, my daughter was a breech birth. I was not allowed to be in the room. I was going to be in the room at the Air Force Base Hospital to help with the delivery, but when the doctors realized she was breech, which means coming out feet first, they said, you have to stay outside the room. And the doctor was by himself. He had to call in a medic to assist. And I remember watching through the window as I saw these two red objects starting to protrude out of the wife. And I panicked because I thought that was her intestines. It turned out to be my daughter's legs. But the point of it is, and these two gentlemen absolutely performed a miracle in helping my daughter be born, and has with as little trouble and with as little pain as possible. And even the doctors that helped us after her birth, it was all a miracle to where she is a beautiful woman today, a senior registered nurse, very successful mother of three beautiful children, all of them very healthy, very active, beautiful children, beautiful inside and out. So again, miracles, they do happen. And miracles, again, signs or portents, happenings. They can be supernatural or they could be just an event, let's say, that inspires somebody, okay? So, since we're all created by our Heavenly Father in His image, and if we are walking with Him, then we have this innate ability to see the divine in many things. That's what separates us from the riffraff that walks upon the earth. They don't recognize the divine stamp, if you will, the sign or the miracle of our Heavenly Father. They think everything is by happenstance. They think it's because of some plan with some banker Jew who's going to give them electronic shekels so they can go out and buy up somebody's business or buy off some research scientist to do nefarious things, whatever. They don't give any credence to our Heavenly Father and His intervention in the affairs of men, when in fact that's exactly what we are, and miracles do happen. It's a miracle that this tiny remnant that we represent today is going to make it through this mess. But we are going to make it through this mess, just as Noah and his family. Why? Because they were righteous. But it started with Noah, the leader, Noah. So as it was in the days of Noah, it didn't say as in the days of the Israelites, Noah. And so it shall be at the latter days, the tiny remnant. But getting back to our miracle with our mothers and the birthing of children and the raising of the children, especially in their first 8 to 9 years, mom is critical, absolutely critical to the proper raising of that child. Dad has a part to play, especially when it comes to the young men, but both male and female children, mom has a spiritual duty to the children, to the people that will make our race what they are. And the enemy knows that. That's why the enemy has worked so hard to destroy that bond, all the way from going to a hospital when you should be using a midwife. Now, if there's complications, of course, that's different. But if everything is normal, and many of my friends have used midwives recently, so that the baby is born in a much more, less sterile, noisy, calamitous environment of a hospital, and traumatic, by the way, to the comfort Lamaze was the doctor that had the French doctor that had a method used back in the 70s, whereby it was much more natural, very quiet. In fact, some doctors even asked the women to sit in a warm saline solution bath to have the child in an upright position, which is much more normal. Laying flat on your back, you're not letting gravity help you, ladies. In nature, if you think about it, gravity helps in the birthing process, okay? We do it absolutely ass backwards today. Ass backwards. Everything we do is ass backwards today. But they helped us. They wanted the women to be much more comfortable, much more relaxed, a darkened room with maybe some soft music playing. And the child is born, and the cord is not cut. The child is laid upon mama's chest. And the baby is able to continue to receive nourishment and oxygen through the umbilical cord while it gets accustomed to its surroundings. Hold on just a second. Anyway, and then in time, of course, the umbilical cord is cut. But the thing of it is, the whole process is much more nurturing, much more natural, much more comforting for both mom and the baby. And we scrap all that for modern medicine and what they teach, which is, like I said, completely ass backwards. This whole world is ass backwards. Everything they're trying to get us to do is ass backwards. And to do it, you have to have a complete lack of faith. If you have any faith at all, you're not going to go the way of the world. And there's a blessing for it. But it starts out, again, from conception, through the pregnancy, through the delivery, and then the first 7 to 9 years of the child's life. Mom is absolutely critical. And her duty to the child and to the family is divine. It's a sacred duty. But here again, if you don't believe in a creator, if you don't believe in the sanctity of your union with your husband, if you don't believe in the destiny of our race, well, of course, you don't care about all that. It's all mechanical. Sex is mechanical. Pregnancy is mechanical. Now, women, I hear, are even going down and having a cesarean section so they can pick a birthday. Totally ignoring the high risks involved in cesarean section, and besides what it's doing to the woman's body, not to mention the child. So they can pick a birthday, and then the medical establishment's telling them, oh, put them on Enfamil and some other formula right off the bat instead of mother's milk, completely destroying the child's mucosal lining and the development of the intestinal tract that comes from drinking mother's milk, which is full of colostrum, antibiotics, and other things in the first 3 days, how important that is. Not to mention the fact that the baby sucking at mom's chest helps the uterus to collapse and shut off the bleeding. Can you imagine? Talk about miracles. Think about that. The natural act of the baby taking its first drink from mama shuts down the uterus, and so the bleeding stops. What part of that's not a miracle? What part of that is not what you want to take part of? And then on top of it, as the baby nurses, mama's reproductive system goes into standby so that she does not have a monthly and she is no longer fertile. That's the way it's supposed to work. Everybody says, well, I got pregnant when I was I don't care about the exceptions, people. We're not here to talk about the exceptions. Every rule has exceptions. We're talking about the way it is supposed to be. And the way it is supposed to be is the baby nurses from the mother's breast, which helps mom and the baby. And the modern world throws all that away, and people follow the direction of these sorcerers and magicians called doctors and nurses today that teach this completely undivine process of childbirth and wonder why the children are messed up. And then we can talk, as Ella has put in here, about circumcision. That's further trauma for the poor males. They not only don't get the nurturing, don't get mama's milk, don't get to have the quietness and the bonding right from the beginning, and then they're strapped onto a board, taken into a completely different room full of bright lights, noisy people, and noisy tools, and they are mutilated. We wonder why. We wonder why. Things are so effed up today. It's a wonder that we're even here. It's probably a miracle that we still survive at all with as much as we do wrong. But anyway, if we could just get back to doing the simple things, folks, that's all. It's not really complicated. Just the simple things like the divine union between man and female, male and female, to form a union. Today they call it marriage, and everybody's got this Hollywood version of it. It was a contract between a man and a woman. That's basically what it was. Like all contracts, two parties come together with agreement to fulfill the needs of the other, so long as both of them are in agreement. Like all contracts, if one party ceases to provide the things that the contract spells out, the contract is null and void. Some people call that divorce or annulment. But really, it's basically the tearing up of the contract. Why? Because one or both of the parties are no longer satisfied with the conditions of the contract. Today, we're told by the church that, oh no, it's for life, which puts pressure on both parties that you're stuck. Okay? And what's human nature when you're told that you're stuck in something, whether you like it or not? We tend to be rebellious. Okay? My whole attitude for my friends and people in my life, my whole life has been that way, is I don't want people around me that don't want to be around me. I don't, ever. That's why the whole concept of rape is foreign to me. Rape? You want to have that with a woman who is not there with you and actually is angry and pissed off and hates you, and you think that somehow, I can't even conceive of that. Or even two people that are consensual, if there's no bonding, where the one person is there because it's my duty. I love that one. It's my duty. And somebody actually believes that the other party can't tell. Maybe if you're completely oblivious to what's going on around you, you might not be able to tell. But most of us can tell the difference. And my whole life, I don't want fake and phony around me. Ever. Whether it's male, female, child, whatever. I don't want fake and phony. And you shouldn't either. Just as the Father says, you know, you can come to me and worship me with your lips, but you deny the power thereof. You deny the spiritual and divine connection thereof. Really? You don't think I'm going to know the difference? Paying lip service? Well, wives, husband, you're paying lip service to your mate, and you don't think they know the difference? I look at it the other way around. As a contract, both parties can go away. That gives incentive to both parties to want to do the things that makes the other person want to stick around. Be the best man or woman that Yahweh made you to be so that the other party wants to stick around. Be an asset, not a liability. Be an asset to each other. Bring a smile to their face. Be encouraging. Be uplifting. They're not just an object there for your enjoyment once in a while. and then to be neglected at all other times. They're a partner in this journey we call life. Treat them that way. Maybe they'll want to stick around on their own. They won't be forced to because of some, quote, law or a piece of paper or because the neighbors might talk or it's a tradition. Well, take a look at the world around us. How has the modern world and its, quote, traditions held up so far to the test of time? Not very good. Not very good at all. So, moms, you need to rethink things. You really need to rethink things and repent. Rethink, repent this whole feminism bullshit, Zionist Jew paradigm that they have created, which they know exactly what it's doing to us. That's why they've done it. If you read the Talmud and the protocols of the learned elders of Zion, it's all spelled out there how to destroy the white race, because we are the leaders of this world. Robert Seffer, the archaeologist, put out a video yesterday. I watched it. And a very good video of the newest research that is showing that all of the ancient kingdoms, all of the ancient empires and kingdoms were ruled by Aryan, meaning white people. How many times have we said that in the nearly 22 years we've been on this program? How many times have we talked about that? And now science is catching up, huh? We knew that. But now science is catching up with documentaries and DNA evidence that everything we're talking about is true. The ancient rulers of this world were Aryans, just like the Brahmins in northern India. They were white people. The Ainu people of Japan, white people. The Khans and the aristocrats of ancient China, white people. The pharaohs and builders of the Egyptian empires, white people. The Persian and Media empires, white people. And on and on and on and on. Which further talks about the miracle of Adam to show blood in the face, the white man upon the earth. Because why? Because he was created in the image of the Almighty, and the spirit of the Almighty was breathed into the nostrils of Adam, the white man. Why do you think it is the white man is able to think outside the box, to be able to create the miraculous things that they create when they are properly motivated? The problem is that the white race today is under the influence of these communist Bolshevik Antichrist Jews, and so now they're using these God-given talents for nefarious things. We are going to be punished for that. In fact, we're in the middle of it right now. If you don't think so, again, take a look around you. Those people who worship the beast system, I don't know what to tell you. I'm going to go down worshiping my father and obeying my father. That's my plan. Everybody says, well, what's your plan, Dan? My plan is to follow the lead of the Holy Spirit and love my father in heaven to my dying day. That's my plan. It's pretty simple. I don't care about governments. I don't care about man-made institutions. I don't care about neighbors. I don't care about listeners. I don't care about them in the sense that they're going to influence what I say or do. No. I haven't done it yet, and I'm not about to. Now, do I have many wonderful, beautiful individuals who are part of my team of counselors and mentors? Yep, I sure do. Praise be to the Father above. And that's part of why I called it miracles today, because in the past 4 days, some very, very strong miracles have happened within the body of believers, not outside. They're still in their misery, moping around, chasing after Jewish shekels, putting diapers on their faces and everything else. I'm talking about the only people that do matter, and that's the believers. And yes, some believers are not white. As the scripture says, those that bless Abraham shall be blessed. It doesn't say they become a part of our family, but it does say they are to be blessed. And those that curse us, do evil against us, shall be cursed. But the responsibility is upon us to behave ourselves. So one of the miracles, and it applies to one of the ladies in our listening audience, who I am going to refer to as Ella from now on, because that's her new name. And the way she got her new name was via a miracle. Okay, a miracle. I've known this lovely lady for over 3 years. She has the heart and soul of an angelic being, and Yahweh has given her a name. And again, the details I'm not going to go into because they're kind of personal, and I don't think you really need to know that unless she wants to call in and tell you about those details. The point of it is that it's obvious it was a miraculous event, meaning it happened with divine intervention. It was not by human hands that this happened. And a lot of people might say, well, what's the significance? Well, I just picked a few verses here, and we're going to talk about them and why a new name. And again, a new name is not always needed, but in some of our people's lives, he will give us a new name. Revelation chapter 2, verse 17. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches or the ecclesia. To him who overcomes, to him will I give some of the hidden manna, which is support. And I will give him a white stone and a new name written on the stone, which no one knows but he who receives it. A new name. Why is a name significant, by the way? If you read the Greek and Hebrew, what a name is, remember there was even a movie made out some years ago called In the Name of the King. And I remember reading books as a child when they used to talk about the knights and different middle-age warriors and all. They would go out and in the name of the king, in the name of the king. The name. They didn't say his name, but what did it mean? It meant by the king's authority. So your name is significant in your relationship to who has authority over you. Was your name given to you by a beast system in all capital letters, or was it given to you by divine intervention? As Christians write with initial caps and all the rest of the letters in lowercase. Think about that. Name implies authority, but it also, a name has significance in the meaning of the name. In our case, it was Angel or Ella has put in here, name equals character. Exactly. A name is significant in the fact that in the olden days, sometimes parents would not name their child until the child was old enough that they could tell what their character was, so that the name basically reflected the character of the child. Today, we act like, in fact, I did that. When my one son was born, I did not name him in the hospital. They went berserk. Well, you have to give him a name. I said, no. I said, I've read my Bible, and I know my rights. I said, as parents, we're going to give him a name later on, and we're going to have a worship service with fellow believers and christen him at that time. But we're not. So they gave us a birth certificate that said male child born to. But they went crazy just because we didn't want to give him a name at the hospital. You'd have thought we were terrorists or mass murderers or whatever. It's unbelievable. People just cannot think outside the box. We are so conditioned. We are like little robots today. It's no wonder the Father is so pissed off at us. Look at the way we behave. Isaiah 56, verse 5, to them I will give in my house and within my walls a memorial, and a name better than that of sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name which will not be cut off. Whoa. And the reason I think Ella is very, very nice is because El, in the Hebrew, El is a symbol or a name of power and authority. El, as in the word Daniel, by the way. Dan-E-L, Dan-E-L. Dan, to judge, E, with or as, El, God. It also means mighty judge, because El signifies strength and authority. So El is in a lot of names, like Joel or Ya'el, etc. Ezekiel, can't think of the other one. But anyway, you get the point. So Elah is the feminine form of El. Just like in ancient Hebrew, Ish is meaning men or male. Ish, as in British, which we get British today. British is the men or the people of the covenant. British. And Ish-ah is the female version. So Ish is male, Ish-ah is female in ancient Hebrew. So El is the masculine form of strength and power, and our Heavenly Father. So Elah would be the feminine form. Beautiful name, beautiful name. And in the imagery that it presents and the symbolism of the miracle of the connection with the divine is there also. Beautiful thing, once you realize that we're spiritual creatures. We are spiritual beings experiencing a human experience, or having a human experience. Spiritual beings having a human experience, not the other way around. Isaiah 62:2, the nations will see your righteousness, and all kings your glory. And you will be called by a new name, which the mouth of Yahweh will designate. Again, Isaiah chapter 62. Now again, he may not do that with all of us, but in Ella's case, it was miraculous. Isaiah 65 verse 15, you will leave your name for a curse to my chosen ones, and Yahweh, Elohim God, will slay you, but my servants will be called by another name. So names can change, just like Sarai and Sarah, Abraham's wife. When she was a young maiden, her name was Sarai. It means rebellious or contentious, like many of our ladies today. Yes, that's a dig, ladies. Yes, that's a dig. And you can curse me under your breath if you wish. Okay? But Sarai was contentious, rebellious. But after her epiphany and experience with Father, and she was able to bear a child, her name was changed to Sarah. She went from Sarai to Sarah. Doesn't sound like much, but it is completely the opposite. Sarah being the woman of obedience, divine, an asset to her husband instead of a liability. Okay? Sounds like a small change, but sometimes them little changes availeth much, don't they? And then in Revelation chapter 3 at verse 12, did I ever read that one? Oh no, Revelation 2:17. This is 3:12. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my Elohim God, and he will not go out from it anymore. And I will write on him the name of my Elohim God and the name of the city of my Elohim God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from Elohim, and my new name. So just a few supporting verses to the concept of names, why they're important, and that they can change. In fact, here's a big one, just popped in my head. What are we called? Israelites. But who is the father of the Israelites? Jacob or Jacob. Jacob's name was changed, was it not? Exactly. So as Jacob or Jacob, he was one man. But after his divine intervention, he was given a new name, Israel. Israel. Ish again, male, ruling, Ra, El, with power and authority from God above. The people, Ish, the people of El, God, Israel. So today people think of a country, but it's actually a people. It's why we were called Israelites or Israelites. Not Israelis. Israelis are a fake and a fraud. Their country is actually not called Israel. It's only in English. Over there, it's Israeli. And they picked that form as a mocking of the living God. And yet the man walking the streets today doesn't even have a clue. That's why they're called Israelis, not Israelites. Israelis, because they come from a country called Israeli. And it is a lie. It is a fake and phony Israel. Whereas in the Bible, it's Jacob Israel. Jacob Israel. A people. Different name. Because they now have a different purpose. A new name. And we talked about the Ark many times. And we all think that's a community. Because the Ark in the days of Noah. And that's where we are. If you care to take a look around you. But I'm beginning to think that maybe 5-6 years ago when we first started talking about this, that possibly the Ark is made up of people this time, not wooden planks that are going to form a great big ship or a boat. Okay? It's made up of people who are networking, praying for, and reaching out to one another. Just a thought. Because the community concept, it's a beautiful one, and we all want that, but so far Father has not blessed that, not to my knowledge anyway, not at this time. There will be a time, but not at this time. That might come after we build the people network arc, so that we know who the true sons and daughters are that will enter into that community. Because we've had a lot of fakes and frauds, in my experience. There are a lot of people that I thought would have been in the community, and it's a good thing we didn't. Because it turned out later on to be fakes and frauds. They were seed that was planted on very shallow, rocky soil, and did not come to fruition, were not true believers, true men of Yahweh. So that could be the vetting process that we're going through right now, testing the hearts of our people. Okay? And again, I'm not monitoring the chat room, so I will from time to time, I will attempt to do that, but for those folks that can, either shoot me a text or a email at my Proton Mail account that I can see it that way, because I just don't have time to try to look down through all the chats. This program that we're using, Free Conference Call, it's not that conducive for somebody that's running the entire thing by himself to be able to look down through the chats and try to maintain my my thoughts during the broadcast. So if somebody calls in or something like that, then that gives me an opportunity to sometimes take a look at the chat. And again, it's not because the chat's not important. It is. But it's mostly for you all to chat amongst yourselves. I can't take too much time away from what I'm trying to say to monitor that. So again, just to let you know. So this miracle of the new name, again, for our lovely nurse out there, becoming Ella, I think it's a beautiful thing. Anytime I see the Father's handiwork on this earth, it just makes me, I don't know, almost like a young boy again, kind of giddy, happy, especially when all we hear is about is what these morons in the New World Order and these Zionist cabals are up to, hurting and killing people. But amongst the family of believers, I constantly see miracles and beautiful things happening. I really do. Now, it doesn't mean that we're all living in palatial homes with bank accounts, having millions of dollars, driving Bentleys and Lamborghinis. No, but that's not real wealth anyway. At least in the Bible I read, that's not real wealth. In fact, Christ himself, last time I checked, he walked everywhere he went. He didn't have beautiful raiment on like these bishops and cardinals and popes in Roman Catholicism, or even these Joel Osteens and all in Protestant churches with all their millions of dollars, and Kenneth Copeland and the rest of them with three or four jet airplanes and a couple prop airplanes on a multi-million dollar home and an airfield on his own property, etc. The disciples in Christ were very plain, very simple folk. But everything is prosperity today. Well, who teaches that? That prosperity is what you're going to go after. That's Jews like Osteen and Billy Graham and the rest of the kikes that have infiltrated Christianity. They are the enemies of Christ, in case you haven't figured it out, okay? Yeshua told us that in Scripture, in the book of John and elsewhere. They do the works of their Father, and yet today you got white people walking around saying Jews are God's chosen people. I got news for you. The only thing they're chosen for is found in the book of Obadiah and Ezekiel and Malachi, and it's not a good thing. The thing that they're chosen for is not a good thing, because those three prophets tell us that the day is coming when they will be exterminated. That's the words right out of your Bible. They're not my words. They're right there in your Bible. Even in the English, as bad as it is, it's quite clear the destiny of these liars and misfits and poisoners of this earth. All right, I think I got somebody in the queue here. Hold on a second. Okay, yeah, I do. Hold on a minute. Okay, John, can you hear me?
You can hear me. I can hear you.
Oh, you put John the Divine. It's Curtis. Hi, Curtis.
It's Curtis. I'm fine. I'd like to say it's greed, and there's a lot of money that can be made by just going along the herd and being the sheep. I know the Joe Osteen mentality, and I don't blame him. There's just a lot of money and pride, and go to the marketplaces, and people would say, "Man, what a popular person you are! You like multiculturalism just like me. You're a good guy. You can get this job. I'll hire you." So I just like to say it's pride of the world. I don't blame people for avoiding violence and poverty and social isolation. They do have that control over us. Who can hold out is who can hold out. That's my input, strength to the ministry is just that. We just gotta live with less options and less choices, because the less choices you have, you tough it out, you got a big reward, because a lot of businessmen, they stick it out. They stick with one goal, and they stick it out for years, and they're very, very satisfied by just sticking to the truth. And at the end of the road, you get a lot further ahead than sitting on that cell phone just changing your mind all the time and trying to put your finger in the wind and say, "Hey, what's the crowd saying today? I want to be popular. I can get a good I can make a lot of money and live in the nicest neighborhoods. But now, guys, there ain't any neighborhoods to move to. Yahweh's spoken to the greedsters, and the greedsters aren't getting ahead anymore like they did in the 80s. Because I know I'll be laughed at, you know, back in the 80s or 90s, they'll laugh at you for identity. But now, they're not, they're even the Trump phenomenon, they, I just never seen a time when people would vote for somebody like Trump. It was amazing. But the people are getting to realize that we're not off base, but they've been so indoctrinated by anti-white information. They have so far to go. It's a lot of programming that I've received. I just remember I have never I would just be anti-white to hold a job just to get a house paid off, and I regret doing it. But I'm probably about as big as communist as anybody. But I've been programmed like that all my life, and I don't have a living memory of a time that America was ever free of the communists and anti-whites. It's not in my living memory. But I'm hanging in there, and just want to give my input to the ministry, and hope you do well, Pastor Dan.
Thank you, Curtis. And you're not alone. A lot of people struggle with that. The what you're talking about is compromising. Many of my friends and family that are out in the workforce and having to deal with the day-to-day operations, they come up against that all the time, and it's not easy. Like I said, I've got a daughter who has caved to the pressure that was put upon her, and she went and put the experimental toxic serum into her body. I regret it that she went and did that, but she caved. You know, she fought it for years. She never got the flu vaccine or any of that stuff, but she caved recently for whatever reasons. I don't know. She won't talk to me much anymore, but my heart goes out to everybody. It's not easy, but I guess that's where faith comes in, huh?
Hey, Dan, you know, I like to mention that in order to work at a hospital or a healthcare facility of any type, you have to have a lot of vaccinations. I was checking into a medical career in college to go back to school, and they insist that you have a paper that you got vaccinations. How to get out of that, I don't know. But if you work at it, maybe there's a way. But they will request you have this COVID, scamdemic COVID vaccine.
Well, I don't know if you remember, I told the story of what happened to my nephew. He was in his 20s, later 20s, he changed careers. He went to school to be a EMT, emergency medical technician. And he graduated. He really enjoyed it. And my brother was telling me that when it came time for him to go and start working on the truck with the other responders, that he had to have a whole battery of vaccinations. So he did it because, you know, Uncle Dan doesn't know what he's talking about, and nobody else was telling him to be careful, that sort of thing, and he wanted the job, so he went and did it. Well, the technician screwed up somehow, and they said, well, we have to do it again. But, see, again, their opinion was that, well, these are harmless, they're actually good for you, so they didn't give it any thought. So he went down and had that whole battery that was required, and it's a lot, had them all done. So in a short period of time, he had a double dose of this whole list of vaccinations. And it wasn't even a year after that when he started complaining of pain in his legs and his side. And the pain would get so bad, sometimes he was unable to help the other people lift the person into the truck. He might not even have enough strength to walk himself at times. And shortly after that, he was diagnosed with cancer. And 11 months after the diagnosis, we lost him at the age of 28 years old. And the only child to my brother and his wife. So we lost my nephew. And that's why I caution people. I understand the pressures. And you know, it's pressures that we put upon ourselves. So in the case of my brother's family, they went along with the sorcerers, and it ended up taking the life of my nephew. So you could look at it from two angles, you know. When they did it, they thought they had to do it so that he could, quote, be successful. But in the end, it cost him his life. I think that's the lesson that the Father's trying to get to us. Now, I have another relative who's gone the other way. He has walked away from a six-figure-a-year job because he refuses to go along with him, and he's just going to trust that the Father's going to watch over him. And he's about 4 to 6 months into this journey, and so far they're doing okay. Again, miracles can happen. Some finances are coming their way they didn't think about. Some doors have opened for them. So, again, I'm not trying to be condemning of anybody. Everybody has to walk their own walk and go down that path alone. I can't live it for them. I can't live it. You can't live it. Nobody can. It's an individual journey. But I exhort people, and I did my son when he talked to me about what he was going to do. And I said, well, I only know what to tell you from my own experience. And that is, it's a test of faith. It's a test of faith. Ultimately, when you look at it, that's what it is. Do you have the faith, or do you not have the faith that the Father's going to intervene on your behalf? And, you know, at some point, people have to question what's going on when the, quote, authorities or the beast is asking you to do things that you know are unhealthy. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm being too judgmental, Curtis. I don't know. You let me know. But yeah. I just don't want to see people hurt. And I know that the beast does not have our best interests at heart. I mean, does that make any sense to you?
Yeah. Fear does a lot of crazy things to people. It gives you a lot of options that aren't there. Abuse and victimization of our people, from crowding out your space or manufacturing accidents, driving close to you, walking behind you in a store, just to teach you a lesson for not being anti-white enough or anti-Yahweh enough, you know. So
right.
you get the vaccination, the relief from that fear and abuse is reduced. Say, I got this vaccination. Look, I'm gonna get beaten up less, you know, and bullied around. Sounds like a good option. I'll take it. This high-paying job means less agony and abuse for a white guy like me. And it's like, wow, I'll just turn my back on my kind and maybe later prostitute myself to the beast system and then get out when I have enough money. And there I go. So. I'm no saint. I thought about it, and I'm pretty sure that there's a lot of people that just wanted to cave it, you know, not do what's right, but just looking for a way to reduce the victimization and abuse that I know of, not in my lifetime, there's never been a country that hasn't abused white people. It's been very anti-white, from the TV to the workplaces, to the schools. It's everywhere. And a lot of choices, people come up with a lot of choices and that aren't really viable, but it's in their imagination. You know where I'm coming from?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I've seen it as well. I went into the Air Force in the early 70s, right out of, I had a year of college, and I hated it. I had a low draft number, so I enlisted. But I saw it for sure in the United States Air Force, particularly starting in 1975. Terrible, terrible anti-white bias and basically ass-kissing of minorities and women, too, by the way.
Yeah.
So I saw it from the time I was in my early 20s on. So my entire adult life has been lived in a sea of anti-white hatred.
Well, that's a long time. That's a long time for both me and you.
Oh,
maybe,
yeah.
I can go back to my, now I don't know much about the history of my parents or my grandparents, but I can bet you in a New York minute that they were influenced by anti-whiteism, that the Reds have controlled the universities for a long time, from the 1890s, about just progressivism from Theodore Roosevelt was progressive. He was a Republican, and he was progressive. So I don't have any doubt that even in the 1890s, the path to being successful, what was already made, that you wanted to be part of the Rothschilds or the Carnegie Institute, you want to get a job at Carnegie or be up higher up in the billionaire sect. They were really into anti-whiteism even back then, for as long as we can remember.
Oh yeah, it's one of the reasons I retired early. I got tired of it. I met a friend of my brother's who retired from a major defense contractor in the United States. He was a developmental research engineer, very smart guy. I like him a lot. He's kind of quirky in a way, but he's a multimillionaire, so he's obviously not too stupid. He made good investments, and he made very good money as a senior engineer for this defense contractor. And he was a project manager on many developmental projects. And I got into a discussion with him one day. He said he retired early, and I said, well, why is that? And he was kind of sheepish about it at first, but he loosened up a little bit and actually came out and admitted affirmative action. He said, I couldn't deal with it anymore. I had people they gave to work on my projects that were completely unqualified. He goes, they didn't know their ass from a hole in the ground. Yet they got the job, and they were assigned to my teams, and I'm told to accomplish a task with unqualified people. He said, and I got tired of it. So, and it's all politics. Everything is politics, and you know. And he just said, I just threw in the towel and took my money and my investments, and I left. So I'm hearing it from more and more people all the time that when they lose their, quote, fear of telling the truth, anti-white racism in America is alive and well. And, you know, those of us that have been trying to raise the alarm, for me anyway, it started in the 70s when I saw what it was doing to the United States Air Force. So that was well over 50 years ago. And so, you know, I just don't understand what it takes to wake people up. I mean, when the Bible says that he would give a strong delusion because they no longer love the truth, I mean, you're seeing it right now. This is a strong delusion that's over our people. And it really truly is because they don't love the truth. I mean, like I said, I've got family and friends that I've known for half a century. And you try to tell them the truth about medicine or natural health or politics or pretty much any subject, the public schools, they don't want to hear it. They throw up their, oh, wait a minute, you're going to bust my bubble here. Hold on a minute. I'm in a comfort zone. Yes, yeah. It's all made of lies, but it's comfortable. I'm in my comfort zone. Don't do that. Literally, I'm not lying. They literally will put their no. I don't want to hear that. I've got this illusion going here. And you're gonna hurt my illusion. It's mind numbing to me. And that's why I didn't take a vow of poverty, but by today's standards, I live in poverty, but I don't consider myself poor. I really don't. Not by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, I consider myself one of the most blessed men to walk the earth. But by human standards, I'm poor. I live like a poor man. I'm basically trailer trash, okay? But that's the way the world looks at it. I don't look at it that way. I'm surrounded by a loving family. I'm surrounded by loving friends and acquaintances. I'm surrounded by the Holy Spirit. I got a roof over my head, a comfortable bed to sleep in. I don't know a day in my life when I've gone hungry. I don't know a day in my life when my life was seriously threatened. There's been some close calls at times, but a lot of that was my fault. So, you know, again, do I need tremendous wealth to be happy and to be blessed? I don't think so. I think some of the most unhappy people I know, including the millionaire that I was just talking about, some of the most unhappy people I know have a whole lot of material things, including money, but they're not happy. They're not happy because, as my grandfather told me and my father, as I was a boy growing up, you have to live with yourself. First and foremost, you have to be comfortable in your own skin. You have to be satisfied in who and what you are, regardless of the material world around you. And my grandfather, when I was a young boy, told me that you pick a career based on what you like to do, not based on the salary. And I looked at him when he told me that, and I was pretty young, and I kind of thought, why are you telling me this? I don't understand what you're saying. But those words stuck in my head, and as I got older, and my father told me the same thing when I went off to the Air Force, he said the same thing, that you don't worry about your pay and you don't worry about promotions. You just keep your nose clean and do a good job. That's all you have to worry about. You just be the best you can be, do a good job. The rest will take care of itself. And my whole career in the Air Force and in nuclear power, that's exactly the way it worked out. So were those men wise? Yeah, they were wise. And they took that right out of the Bible. I based my decisions on what it was I wanted to do, what I was good at. And because I was good at it and I enjoyed what I was doing, I was promoted and given raises and opportunities that the average person doesn't get because they're not happy in what they're doing. Because they chose careers based on what they were promised as pay. Or some of my nephews and nieces that told me, I want to be a doctor or a lawyer because they make lots of money. It wasn't because that's what they wanted to do or would enjoy doing it. All they cared about was, it makes lots of money. Well, you tend to be not so good at what you do when that's all your criteria is. Whereas for me, it was the opposite. I loved what I was doing. It didn't matter what I was getting paid. And a lot of times I was paid shit salary. In the Air Force, I lived the entire time I was in the Air Force well below the poverty level, way below it. My highest taxable income in 4 years in the United States Air Force was just over $2,000 a year taxable income. That's not a lot of money. Now, I made more than that, but I'm talking about taxable. So at that time, I think they considered the poverty level $8,000 a year. So I was only $2,000 above that. So $10,000 a year was the best year in my time in the Air Force. And I'm raising a family on that. living off base. So, you know, I know what they're talking about. I've lived it. But I can't say that living at a poverty level made me unhappy. I enjoyed what I was doing. I got awards. I became a master technician. I was given letters from my commanding officers, etc., because I did a good job. I was good at what I did, and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed helping my teammates, my fellow airmen in my squadron, helping to teach them and helping to lead them on a flight line and teach them proper maintenance, etc., etc. So again, attitude. There's a really good paper, I wish I still had it, that talked about that back in the 70s when I was in a power plant one time, and they used to post it on the wall. But 90% of your existence and how well it goes or doesn't go is strictly on attitude. Only 10% is actual events in your life. 90% of whether you're going to be happy or not is based on your attitude. Does that make sense, Curtis?
Absolutely. That rang a bell in my mind, opened up a lot of things. So true.
Yeah. Well, are you guys having a good Mother's Day? Is Mama anything special, or just a happy Mother's Day, or what's going on in your family circles? How do they celebrate Mother's Day?
Oh, our family, we don't have children, so it's just me and my wife.
But, okay. Oh,
my mom's passed away. All my parents are gone, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, the elder mamas in my family are pretty much all gone, too. So, you know, I've reached that point where people told me many years ago, it's kind of sad because many of your school friends and elders are either already passed or in the process of passing, and you feel much more alone at that time, because now you've become the elders.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Curtis, did you have anything else?
No, nothing else. Just want to give my input, help the ministry out, help others, just not just for myself, but for others.
Yep.
Not just about me. It's about a lot of others. I'm just one person.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for letting me talk.
What's that?
Thank you for letting me talk.
Oh, no problem, Curtis. Take care. Yahweh bless you and the missus, and you have a great day, okay?
Okay.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's Curtis out there in the great state, the Lone Star State, Texas. Let me check the queue here. I got to remove the question here. Here we go. Okay. Software is a little bit on the slow side today. And I'm hearing a lot about possible shutdowns of the internet and interruptions in our email and different platforms based on the internet and computers. That might happen. It might not happen. Certainly, if it does, again, we got to remember to maintain our faith at this time. There's a lot of strange things going on. That part we can be sure of, okay? Take a look at Washington, D.C. and the politics in America today. If you don't know that that's strange and bizarre, you're just not paying attention. Bizarre is the word for the day. Absolutely bizarre. And certainly the fact that Washington, D.C. is locked down and surrounded and fenced off and military troops everywhere and all this COVID-icy that's going on, I just shake my head. I really do. And I praise the Father because, again, I haven't put a diaper on my face from day one. And I praise Him that I'm able to do that. I put my brain to work, and I have great counselors in my circle of advisors. Together, we've figured out ways to get most of the things that I need, not necessarily want, but need, so that the needs are met without having to acquiesce to these monsters that lord over us in this completely fake and fraudulent so-called medical emergency. I just got a hot flash. Let me look at it here real quick. Okay, this came from a good friend. Intel that's just in, beware of any Air Force or Coast Guard facilities that have the name MARS, M-A-R-S, connected in any way. They are not part of the United States military. They are a front for a satanic cult that Pence is somehow tied into. Also, any church that has the word Bethel connected to it has a lot of military types attending, all tied into cult and pedophilia. Well, I don't know. I think now they spelt Bethel, B-E-T-H-A-L. I used to go to a Methodist church, it was Bethel. Bethel is the Hebrew word meaning house of the Lord. El, of course, we just got done talking about El, and Beth is the second letter of the alphabet, and it stands for a house. So Aleph is the first letter, equivalent to Alpha or A, and Beth is Beta and B in our alphabet, and Beth in Hebrew was house. Beth El, God's house, or the house of the Lord. So, but this is Beth Al with an A, and so I'm not sure any churches that I'm aware of with that. But anyway, that just came in. Take it for what it's worth. You know, chew the meat, spit out the bones, see if it coincides with any other kind of information that you might have out there. But again, I want everybody to understand that in the lives of the believers, we have miracles happening almost here within the last week or so, almost on a daily basis. At least from my point of view, from the people that I am in contact with, etc. I also want to remind everybody again, when we do word studies like we did with the languages here talking about miracles, the eSword program is downloadable and it's free. And you can put a large number of different Bibles into the database and it's all free. Now, you can send a donation, which is highly recommended, but again, it's free. And eSword is a wonderful tool for doing word studies. You can also go online to blueletterbible.com. I think it's .com, but it's Blue Letter Bible. And it has a lot of the same databases, and the ability to do word studies makes it much, much easier. But eSword, which again is downloadable, and you can operate it offline. You don't have to be tied into the internet to use it. So you can put it on your laptop or your computer. As long as you have electricity, you can do a study. It's all put onto your hard drive. So again, I would highly recommend it because, again, people are beginning to realize, and I'm seeing more and more platforms do this, you have to do a word study, folks. If you think that our Heavenly Father has endorsed all these different English translations, I'm sorry, but you're deluded. You really are. And I've had people, I've had some very heated conversations of late with people that actually believe that the English version that they're reading is God's Word, meaning it's infallible. Okay? I got news for you. It is fallible. And Dan, you're going to go to hell for talking about God's Word. Well, I've been saying this for, over 30-some years, 22 years almost on the air, and I'm still here. And I'm not mocking the living God. Don't even begin to get that impression here. No, sir. I respect him, and I would never purposely do that. So my only thing to counter that with is, he hasn't judged me wrong because I'm still here. Okay? Now, again, I'm not rich in human terms, but I'm rich in spiritual terms. And I have never purposely lied to anybody on any show about what I'm finding out. I'm seeking the truth just like the rest of you. And I have volumes and volumes of hard copy interlinear Bibles, Greek and Hebrew lexicons. Now I have all kinds of electronic versions of the same thing, all because I want to get to the truth. And the truth stands up to the tests. And I just don't understand how anybody could look at an English translation and say that it's the inerrant word of God. To me, that is like Anthony Fauci standing up and saying that there is a pandemic and you need a vaccine. That's the same thing. Excuse me? I'm supposed to trust you because of what? And again, you go to, for instance, the scripture about adultery. We've talked about this many times, okay? That is a butchering of the original Greek and the Septuagint and even the Hebrew. That word, thou shalt not commit adultery, is thou shalt not mongrelize or race mix. Excuse me. Okay? That's so easy to prove. It's unbelievable. And it fits with nature. Okay? So it goes back to Occam's razor. Okay? The most practical or the thing that can be observed to be true in nature will fortify a supposition. Okay, so people that say, well, it's dealing with marital status, that is such bullshit. Okay, because you already have the commandment within 10 commandments that says don't covet your neighbor's property. And you got to remember, when that was written, a wife and children were considered property. Now, not property in the sense that they were slaves. Property in the sense that a man, as the head of the household, is to care for his property, meaning his home, his provisions, and certainly the wife, wives, or children that he's cover for. Okay? So that's not a derogatory thing, calling him his property, because as his property, it's his divine duty to care for his property, to protect it, nurture it, provide for it, etc. So that commandment was already covered. So adulterate, in fact, if you just go to the word alter or adulterate, it says it right in there, to make something impure by adding an outside poison or pollutant to the mix, such as a gallon of white paint and putting a quart or a pint of black paint in the white paint, you have adulterated the white paint. Does that make sense? Yeah, it makes perfect sense. So again, word studies, getting back to the original language, that's just common sense. Common sense. Thou shalt not kill. That's not what it said. Think about it. Even as a teenager, I used to question that. How can that be? How can the Bible say thou shalt not kill? I was 30-some years old before I got my first concordance. I grew up in a Methodist church, never heard the word concordance mentioned one time. Not one time. Bought my first concordance, I went home, and within a few hours of study, I answered two of the biggest questions I ever had. Two of the commandments that just didn't make sense. Especially the one, thou shalt not kill. It said, thou shalt not commit murder. Whoa. Whoa, that makes sense. Of course we're not supposed to commit murder, because murder is shedding innocent blood, such as in murdering babies in mama's womb, whereas killing is just taking a life. You kill livestock. You didn't murder them. You kill livestock so that you can feed your family. you kill criminals because God commands that you kill rapists and murderers and kidnappers and pedophiles. Okay? That's a commandment. That's not murder. They committed a crime. They violated somebody in such a way that our Father Creator said that they are to be executed. That's not murder. They're guilty of a crime. You break into my house to do harm to me or my family, you are no longer innocent. You are trespassing, for one thing, with the intent to do bodily harm. That makes you a criminal. That makes it just fine for me to put a bullet in your head. Okay? Why? Because you are a criminal. You have lost your right to life because you're threatening the lives of my family. See, it makes perfect sense. So there, just in that, those two examples, it's telling you that virtually every English translation is in error, even though a lot of them have fixed that, but none of them have fixed the race mixing verse in the Ten Commandments in Exodus. Okay, have you noticed that? Not one single English translation have I seen yet that correctly identifies what adultery is. Not one. Not one goes to Genesis and gets the garden account right with Eve having a sexual intervention with Nakash. Nakash was a man. Evil, deceiving, conniving man. Nakash. It wasn't a damn snake that crawls on the ground. I mean, get real. But not one English translation that I know of has got it right. Not one. Now, if you know of one, I would love for you to contact me. And I think personally we need to create a whole new identity Bible with all of the notes and commentary from the great researchers that I've known in my lifetime. Put all of that information into a brand new translation. We have electronic Bibles now, and you can put them into a Word document and go through and put footnotes and change definitions based on what we know. It shouldn't be that hard if a group of us wanted to do that and just collect all of our notes. Take portions of the Bible. Take a chapter or a few verses out of a chapter. Somebody coordinate all this, bring it all together, and create an identity Bible. Wouldn't that be wonderful? An identity Bible that actually identifies who's who and does not have the word Jew in it, because that's a misnomer. Doesn't have it in there. Has the Ten Commandments proper. And that verse that says, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Get that correct. According to the Greek, it says, do not forget them, for they know what they do. Why would the Father forgive you for committing murder? Why would Messiah, who was Yahweh in a flesh body, why would he want you to forgive them when they knew damn well what they were doing and they committed murder? That means he wants you to forgive murderers, which is a violation of his law. Does that even make sense? Whereas the proper interpretation of that is, forgive them not, for they know what they do. Now, that makes sense, doesn't it? But you won't find that in English Bibles. John 3:16 is not even in most of the Greek manuscripts. And yet that's the verse that almost every so-called Bible, even Christian, John 3:16, it's not even in the original manuscripts. The oldest of the manuscripts don't even have it in there. Okay? So once again, right now, it's individual notes that we all take, and mental notes and written notes and jotting in our hard copy Bibles. The one I used to take to different meetings I went to is all full of annotations I made on the margins of the pages. There were so many mistranslations and misunderstandings of Scripture. And how often we have a name of an individual in Scripture in the Hebrew, but we don't know what the name means. The meaning of the names is critical to the people that they're talking about in the Scripture. If we had our identity Bibles in a Word document, adding a footnote or a definition is easy to do. It makes reading it so much more enjoyable. So you don't have to constantly go over and grab grab a lexicon or your notes out and try to figure out what it really says. I've been blessed by the Father to have a pretty good memory, so a lot of the things I've learned over the years, I automatically know when I'm reading that verse what it goes back to in the original. But we need to put all that down into a document, because we have a lot of young people that are starting to wake up. And to me, that would be one of the miracles that I pray for all the time, is that a group would get together and use the technology Father has given at our hands, which is amazing technology, and create a new set of scripture. And the fact is, as a Word document, we could put the books of the Apocrypha back in. We could also add appendices to this document for things like the Book of Enoch, Jasher, Jubilees, and add them to there for the edification of the reader, and make references in the body of text back to these documents. That's all easy to do in Microsoft Word, or even in LibreOffice, which is the alternative to Microsoft, which is what I use. Libre, which is L-I-B-R-E, LibreOffice is a open source set of programs that were created for people that don't want to use Microsoft. And I've been using them for years, and they're excellent. And I send them a donation every now and then to help with their work. These are individuals who want you to be able to do the things you need to do without being held hostage to Microsoft and that piece of shit, Bill Gates. Okay, so there are ways around the beast and his stranglehold on us if we choose to do that. So, but anyway. So again, happy Mother's Day. And again, I exhort mothers to take pride in their divine duty to our race and to our families. For the women that do it right and get it, praise be to the Father for you. You are rarer than precious stones and more valuable than that. We are, as the scripture says, we are in the days of Noah, so remember that. As you look around you and see the calamity, understand that we are being gathered together and watched over by the divine, by the Father. And miracles are happening, as Ella can tell you and many of the others, and there were some things that happened in the last 4 days that I have not talked to very many people about. In fact, I haven't talked to anybody about it, but I know about it. And in time, I will, and you will be amazed at the things that are starting to happen. Michael, can you hear me? Oh, wait a minute.
Hello, yes, I hear you.
Now I hear you, Michael. Go. Yeah, Michael from Sweden. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you very much, Dan. I hope I don't disturb you when I push the button, because when you spoke about the importance of the law, I got so fired up and so happy to hear it, because that I believe that is central. It's so important, because I read out of also historical books from Flavius Josephus about stories about how the Judahites were treated, how they were so protected, how they when the Romans tried to put in engraven image into the temple, they rather died instead of they defied the temple. So they really also emphasized this with the law, how important it is, and also, as you said, the word. So you don't use the word "you" in the book. The Bible is not belong there. It is phony to have it in there. So it's so important, so we don't get lost there. So I'm just so happy to hear this emphasizing on the law, because I think that is so important. I think also, as you also said, this putting poison in the body, in the temple, yeah, that is this shot, this I won't call it even a vaccine, this shot that our people, they run like they have fire in their butt to get this shot. I'm sad in my heart, because even my loved ones near to me has done it, and I can only pray for them, but I get sad in my heart when I hear that.
Yeah, it is saddening to know that our loved ones are... I can't explain, Michael, what's going through their heads. I really don't, other than it's what the scriptures tell us about a lack of faith. Or they, well, it is a lack of faith because, A, they have more faith in the medical establishment, and they have a lack of faith that the Father will provide for them if they don't go along with what these make-believe authorities, they really don't have the authority, but they're telling them that they do, and they're giving them their worship or acquiescence to their so-called authority, and they're actually harming themselves. I don't understand it.
No, that's, and this was also shown in this excerpt from Flavius Josephus when he showed that this German, what do I say, this Roman general, what he was, Petronius, he was threatening the Judites that with war if you don't do this, but they basically just lay down and say, slay us instead, of you are defiling our law. And it ended up, ended up with that Petronius, he didn't comply with the emperor's law and his government. As also was government that also in their way tried to defile our law and defile us. And this shot is a way, is what I believe, a way to defile our temple, the thing that is most holy and in us, that is our temple. And but I do pray for them, and I have also received some signs, because I did on the night when I heard that my loved ones had taken this shot, I of course prayed for them, and I asked the Father to bless them, because I get very sad. So, but I got some, signs or because they got in contact with me after I've done this prayer. So, it is kind of for me, that's a sign from my Heavenly Father that He's connecting, He's listening to it, and but still, I get sad in my heart when I hear it, and that they rather do as the world threatened them than to follow the God's law to just don't worry all the time. That is what will make you sick. All this worry, all the mental, because virus is something that we in our body creates all the time when it is, what is it? It is cellular debris that is in part of the breakdown in the process of in our bodies. We are excreting them daily. And so you can never isolate them. You can never isolate this virus. It would never happen. That's why I think haven't been also in America, I've seen they can offer $1 million if you can give them an isolated form of the corona, of this COVID. I can barely pronounce because I get so upset when I hear that name now, because I'm fed up to hear it. I get so fed up with it,
right,
to be honest.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you. Real quick, Michael, Ralph up in Canada has sent me a note here. It says, rumor has it, and again, this is a rumor, that the Canadian Jewish-controlled government is planning on eliminating cash in the very near future, which that wouldn't surprise me. They want to get rid of cash so that we're all tied into the system. So,
and we can also then say, Sweden is the most cashless society you have here on Earth, unfortunately. Oh, it's so easy to use the card. You use the switch, as we call it. And so it's kind of, and they've all fallen in the trap. And all now, some people, I would say, used to be friends, got pissed at me when I came with cash. Here is money you want. And then he got almost mad at me for it. Wait, what is, so here it is very cashless, unfortunately. And that has been, Sweden has been a guinea pig for the New World Order and has always done as the New World Order tells them. So why Sweden is not in lockdown, I don't know. Can it be because of the big company that works with telecommunications, Ericsson? Because Ericsson is a big part in this 5G rollout. I don't know if that is, if it's the case, but that's one of the, I read a medical doctor in Sweden had that as a comment. Oh, could this be the only reason why they haven't locked down Sweden? Because of Ericsson's and their central involvement in the 5G rollout.
Could be. That's a good point. I don't know. I have heard that Sweden is, unfortunately, like you said, lockstep with the New World Order, socialist communists. It's a sad thing. I just pray day after day, Michael, that our Heavenly Father will return and set up His kingdom here very, very soon. And just, if He has to wipe out most of mankind in order to do that, I'm ready for it. I'm okay.
Yeah, because they did not receive the love of the truth. They instead, right. As you said before, they get the ice tickle. It's more nice. Oh, don't break my bubble. Don't break it. And I face that also when I try to speak to people. I tried to speak to a colleague about this covidiacy. And he said like this then when I mention my concern or my doubt about it. Yeah, oh, my brother thinks the same. And then I kind of get pissed at myself. So I didn't ask him, what do you think yourself then? What is your intention yourself? Because probably he didn't, he just go along with the system because it's easier. And it's so typical of, I don't want to call them men, unfortunately, because they're more male, as you point out, because they cannot say what the truth is. They rather follow along with the society, with what the women tells them, or whatever, just so don't get criticized.
Right. I got a question from the audience for you, Michael. Ralph in Canada would like to know the ruling family in Sweden. Do you know who the ruling family is? And I'm sure he wants to know their ethnicity.
Yeah, well, the ruling banking family in Sweden, that is the agent of the Rothschild, is Wallenberg. They are the one that rules the Swedish society, and they own mostly of the society. And then also you have in the media, you have the same ethnicity, the Jewish Bonnier, they own the media. So those two families rule Sweden. They are very much in the dark, but they own everything. I would say almost anything. Wallenberg, he owns everything. And he is, he has stolen, he has killed his competitors. The one most notorious one is Ivar Krieger, when he killed him. That was conspiracy from the Rothschilds and from Wallenberg. And where did all his assets end up? In Wallenberg's, in his bank accounts. He took everything. And they tried to say that Ivar Krieger was a fool, he was a liar, he was not. He was one that did fight the Rothschilds with their own means, but with his matches. That was his weapon. And that weapon they want to take away from him. So they killed him in Paris.
Wow. Wow.
And kind of coincidental is the stock market crash in America. That also, of course, impoverished all of your farmers and all of your people in 1920. What was it? What is in 1920? When was it? I don't remember the
28.
Year.
1928. Yeah.
Yeah. 2 days before, something like that. Ivar Krieger was on the stock market in America to get in money to refund his business, and then the crash happened.
Wow. So it's the same nefarious group of misfits in all of our white nations, isn't it, Michael?
Yeah, it is. That is what we all would come to that conclusion, always with that conclusion, that it's the same group that puts themselves upon the money and the media, and because that's the way they can manipulate the masses, because we are so many more than them, and we are more. And they cannot take us head on. That they can't do that. They have to use other means to get us. They've always been the smallest nation. That small nation is that also said in, I think it's one of the apocryphal books that describes them, that as a small nation, that a nation that makes a problem. I don't remember the verse right now, but they are that little nation that Obadiah also speaking about.
Yes. Right, especially when you realize that the word nation means a race, and it is a small race. The Jews are small in number across the world, and yet they are in the middle of everything going on. In fact, they're leading this push towards Zionist communism worldwide. It's just amazing to me. Ralph also says here, as I understand it, in Canada, the ruling family is the Brahmins, and we know whom they are from, which he means they're Jewish.
Yeah, they have the same everywhere, that they have a banking and then the media, and then they are in cahoots with each other. But without the money, they wouldn't be able to do whatever they do. And that is that's their weapon they have turned against us, the money system that they finance everything against us. Everything goes against us, unfortunately.
Amen. But we're still here, Michael. Let me ask you, have you, in your personal life, have you noticed recently any miracles happening for either yourself or people close to you?
I see small stuff happens, but as I'm a bit, sometimes I'm a bit slow, so I don't really always say, oh, that was a miracle. So I have to think sometimes before when it happens. But this, when I also did, was in prayer about my dear loved one, and then they contacted me the day after. That was kind of it tells me something anyway, that there is some connection still, and that makes me at least I get warm in my, because I, yeah, but yeah, I see, but to point out, yeah, I've seen miracle as well. They happen probably daily, and in our lives, in my personal life, in my, what I work with, same there. It is, miracle happens, but you always believe that, oh, no, I'm screwed, or, you know, sometimes, but it's a faith of test, it's a faith test. As you said, it's a faith test, yeah, so we have to test our faith. And I have still not taken any damn COVID test or having any masks, despite they try to enforce it on the workplace. But I don't do it.
Well, praise Yahweh for you, and may He watch over you and continue to protect you. So I'm glad to hear that. You know, if what I'm reading and hearing about is even remotely true, the people that are going along with the beast, it's not going to go very well for them. I think they're in for some real bad times. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, this, as I think you also pointed out, that this that happened now, this could be from the Father to thin out the herds. So I also think, because I am not really been affected by it. Because I don't do the kind of stuff that many, more in the world do like to do. I like being out in the nature. I like being out in nature. I don't in so much into those secular stuff. I don't know how to use it, because if I also speak with colleagues, they say, oh, there's nothing to do. I think, I think a lot of do still. I do a lot of stuff still. I haven't been affected.
Right.
But that's how I feel. That's how I feel it all the time.
Right, because I'm comfortable doing day-to-day things. I don't need to be entertained. I don't need casinos and restaurants and what they call brick-and-mortar stores, the shopping centers and things like that. I don't need all that. I never really liked them all that much even before all this, but now I have no desire to be out amongst the herd of mindless morons that are out there in these different establishments. I don't go to the beach. I don't associate with very many folks because I just don't desire to be around people that have no spirituality, no common sense, and they don't have any what we call in America balls. They don't have any strength of character. They don't have any integrity. They don't have any courage. I mean, like you said, I've seen big, muscle-bound guys half my age that could probably break me in half, and yet they've got a diaper on their face. They're out riding a bicycle or driving down the road in their car. They could probably, you know, win in any fight with any bad guy out there. And yet they got a diaper on their face. I mean, how ludicrous is that? You know, they go to the gym to work out to be strong, and yet somebody like a Fauci, who's a mouse and a liar and a misfit, gets on a tube and tells them that there's a mysterious bug out there, and these guys are putting a diaper on their face. It just doesn't make any sense.
No, I can say here in Sweden, there are no... I guess in America, they are more tougher to try to enforce those silly face masks. In Sweden, there are none. But people wear them anyway. When they sit in the car, when they walk on the street, I just got, oh. Yeah, I've seen it too, and I get very, and I was thinking about something. Yeah, this was also from Eusebius' text when he said like this. If you don't have the courage to defend the law, you will then get God's wrath upon you.
Yep, absolutely. Wow. Well,
that is what they will get. They will get God's his wrath upon them because they didn't have the courage to stand up for something that is obvious fake. It is just fake, fake, fake. It is so obvious that they are lying to them, and they go along with it.
Yeah. Ralph also brings up a point here that they may try to attach your getting this serum into your body to being able to actually have access to your electronic money and certainly have access to travel on public transportation. So he says that I would suggest you get to where you think Yahweh wants you as quickly as possible. I understand what he means by that. My own personal take of that is that I tend not to worry too much about that kind of stuff because Jonah survived 3 days in the whale, and many of our ancestors survived a lot of things that in human terms they should not have been able to. And so I kind of go along with that. For these other people, though, they do need to pay attention to it because they don't have divine help. Yahweh's children do have divine help. So,
yeah, and we that also recognize his name and recognize his law. We can be Caucasian, but many of them have forgotten their identity. So then, yeah, they have a upward hill.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an uphill struggle. What do you think of the idea of an identity Bible, Michael, real quick? Do you think that's a good idea?
Yes, it is, because you have so much knowledge within us that we know about how the word you is not you, it is our genes. And all these words that is so, but just compile everything up into one single Bible where also the newcomers can have a look. I know when I try to explain it, it would help a lot to have scriptures that is that tells all this, because it's so much. And I cannot say, I don't, for a very long stretch of the imagination, have all of it, not very much, but still. I have some part, that everybody have some part to add it together into one. Like, because there are scriptures that are good. I use the scriptures from this South African Institute for Scripture Research. I think that is good, but it's not perfect. They have changed the word thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not murder instead. So they have gotten that correct. And they have also got rid of the word you in the scriptures as well.
Right. But I still haven't found one yet that says that adultery is actually race mixing.
Yeah, that's unfortunate, because I think that is so important, because they use the same adultery in this text, and it's the same here, that because I think that it's also a very, it's not political correct to say that, but that is the truth of the Bible. So we need to that needs to be thought.
Yep, absolutely. Well, maybe the Father will help us out there, and something will happen to where we can put all this great information together. It doesn't even have to be a Bible, so to speak. It could be a drive, like a thumb drive or a DVD or something that contains all of the works, like each of the books of the Bible, say Genesis, and that would be one directory, and all the texts and all the footnotes and all the commentaries could be under that. Then you'd have another directory for Leviticus. And then you could go on down and have the books of the Apocrypha and Jubilees and what the hell's the other one? I can't think of it. Enoch, Jubilees, and which one am I forgetting here? I just said it here not too long ago. I'm looking on my shelf and I can't.
The Book of the Maccabees also.
Yeah, all of them. All of these extra works from antiquity that add to the knowledge base of understanding our Father. Even the Arantia book which I have recently been made aware of. I didn't even know it existed until recently, but the Arantia book, again, you have to chew the meat and spit out the bones, but there's a lot of very good text within that book that expands on the what we call the scriptures and puts it in a different light. Jasher, thank you. Ella just told me the book of Jasher. That's the one I couldn't think about. So, but anyway, that's something as we go forward, maybe we'll ponder about that. Maybe we'll even do some shows about that. But we have the technology and tools now that if a team of people got together, we could do, we could put out a new, I wouldn't even necessarily call it a translation, but an identity Bible or an identity database or an identity compilation. I mean, we could call it something different so we don't try to mock the mainstream, which the mainstream is completely out of touch with reality. So,
They are those lukewarm that Yeshua will spew out when he comes back. So they have earned that one by being so lukewarm and teaching lies and also misleading the sheep. And those pastors, I mean, I've also read, I don't remember where I read it, but those pastors, they will be hunted down by their own. I've read that those verses also, so it's not looking good for them. What they have done, when people realize what they have done, for the sake of what? Money. For the love of money.
For the love of money.
Yeah, it is. And you, as I said, you can make a commentary to the scriptures. So we have some commentaries, and that would be long. That's a big project to undertake, but I think it would benefit the because when you realize who is who in the zoo, when you see that, the Bible opens up and it's not that complicated. It makes so much more sense when you know who is who and when you know who is speaking about. Then everything starts to make more sense. It is one of those keys you need to have, I believe, when you're reading the scriptures. Otherwise, it will be so hard and you can always say, oh, I'm only reading the New Testament. But how can you be a New Testament when you see obvious that Jesus Christ or Yeshua is referring to the Old Testament? Why don't you read it? Mind-boggling for me.
Yeah, you're right, Michael. You're full of fire today, buddy.
Yeah, you need to get it out. You have to have a. You need to tell it because it's for me anyway. It's, because all the insanity you see and here, I mean, and you in America, of course, you are the prime target of the New World Order because of your Constitution and of course your Second Amendment. That is there goes against the New World Order UN Agenda 2030, of course. So, and I pray for you, and I want to give you as much help as I can, because I know if you fall, everybody will fall. So it's kind of helping each other, like in a team. You need to see if someone is need help, you have to lift them up. That's team spirit. I learned it in a way. You have to help each other.
Right, it's teamwork and brotherhood, yes.
Yes, right. It's so important to do that. So I think that is so important that we help each other. And as you said, this with the ARC also, I believe this with the networking within group, within the community, within us, to the people in this networking. That's how we can get to the truth. And that is a life raft to know, I believe truly that it sounds. And as I said, to getting a community is a very good, I think that's a very good idea, but to see that materializing when we are where we are, because we are pretty, long between each other. But I guess that is the tactic when Yahweh spread out the salt on the steak. You know, we don't put all the salt on the same place. You have to spew it out over all the world.
Yeah, that's right. Scattered the salt. Yep.
So I guess we are here, and as you also, I also feel, as you said, that Yahweh has gotten us through a lot of stuff since history and always in our personal lives. So of course he's going to help us through, and he has already seen a way through the satanic's plan with these vaccines passes that they are pushing very hard, and here in Sweden say, oh, we will be done by July with this vaccine passes. Oh, isn't it wonderful? Well, no.
Right. Let me ask you, Michael, you know, we talk about the prophecy that when the dragon, which represents these satanic people, sends a flood after the children of the woman, which is us, which is these non-white invaders coming into our lands, it says at some point the earth will swallow them up. Have you got any thoughts on what you think that might take the form of, and could this serum be part of Yahweh's way to have the earth swallow them up into the grave?
Yeah, that could be wrong. And also, I believe the 5G together with all this will that because of their. I'm listening to this. I guess you also listen to this guy called Jack Cruz, where he is mentioning this, that those people have another mitochondria, have another, I don't remember the haplotype. Our are more loose, so we can adjust ourselves to both being in the very hot temperatures in, yeah, you know, where we came from, and down in the present day, would you say, past the state of Israel, mm-hmm. up to now where we are now in the north. So we can adjust to keep to taking in this the very very heat. We can adjust to that. We can also be in the cold and adapt to that. That is because of how our haplotypes are created. But those other people that are from the more the, what do you say, maybe from Africa and also from, they don't have that haplotype. They have another haplotype. They can't do that. That's why they are there. They feel, they get sick when they're, because they can't accumulate the energy, they can't take the sun's energy as we can. They can't, because they're haplotype. They get, they are, so I can see if I can send that to you, where he says that. That is one also of the difference. That so this with this serum, this poison shot could be, and then also what how 5G will also affect them. So for sure.
Okay. Very good. All right. Well, we're about out of time. Any final comments there, Michael?
No. Thank you. Thank you very much as you let me on. I can just give you a thank for your great work and your emphasizing on the law and also the translation, because I think that is very important. So thank you very much that you let me time to speak.
Oh, and no problem. It's always an honor to have you on. Do you want to say anything out to your Swedish kinsmen there in Swedish?
I don't know really what to say. Jag ber för er att ni tittar tillbaka till er himmelska fader, till Yahweh, och ni vänder er om från era galna vägar, och den svenska staten kommer inte hjälpa er.
Ah, excellent, excellent. I picked up a few words in there, but not a lot. Sometimes I do, the one miracle I've always wished was that the Father would somehow just touch me and all of a sudden I could speak like 50 languages, you know. That's not probably going to happen, but it's always been a dream of mine that I could speak in the native tongue to all my brothers and sisters. That would I think that would be a miracle I'd love to see happen. But anyway, Michael, you have a great rest of your day, and we look forward to the miracles, the good miracles that Father will do for his people, and we also look for his judgment to fall on the heads of those who are not his people. So take good care. Thanks a lot, and keep up the great work. You're doing a great work there as well.
Thank you very much. Yahweh bless you. Bye.
Yahweh bless. All right, ladies and gentlemen, again, that was Michael over in Sweden. And he's the Lion of the North, and he's got a BitChute, and he puts out a lot of great information, and he makes videos, and has a lot of guests come on with him, and they cover a lot of historical information and biblical information. So the workman, Father, when he walked this earth as Yeshua, he said that, you know, the work was great, and the workmen were few. And we're seeing it play out as we look around the world today. We have a tremendous work to do, especially in this day of lies and deception, which we're drowning in lies and deception. There's a famine, as the Bible calls it, a famine for truth. There really is. I mean, it's literal. You're living it. And the workmen to dispel those lies and deception, we're few in number. But we still struggle, and we just count on the Father to edify us and lift us up and strengthen us and give us help, angelic help, whether it's earthly angels or messengers, or whether they're from the other side. There is the other side of the firmament, folks. There are entities, and the spirit world of our Father is on the other side of the firmament. Don't think for one minute that he can't transcend through that firmament and send help from above. Don't think for one minute that can't happen. The enemy wants you to think they have all the power and all the tools to do things to us, but we belong to the Father. We belong to his plan for this earth age. Okay? And when you stay close to the Father in your walk, you have that on your side. Don't ever forget that. That is powerful. Powerful. And the world doesn't recognize that. They think we're crazy. They really do. They think we're crazy. But in reality, who are the crazy people? The ones with the diapers on their face. They're dumber than a box of rocks. I'm sorry. If that offends somebody, I don't mean to offend, but I'm just speaking truth here. A diaper on the face is a sign of just being dumber than rocks. Either dumber than rocks or have absolutely no intestinal fortitude, meaning you don't have any balls. I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is. All right? And if you're allowing any entity to convince you to do something harmful to yourself or your children or your family members, you need to go to the Father in prayer right now. You need to think about that a little more and go to your Father in prayer. He does not abandon us, folks, ever. Just remember that. We are the weak link in the chain, not him. You and I are the weak link. He does not forsake his children ever, as long as they are righteous. As long as they maintain their faith and their walk, he does not abandon us. We abandon him. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this time of fellowship. We thank you for Curtis calling in and Michael over in Sweden and Curtis out there in the great state of Texas. Those folks are like us here in Florida. We're raising up resistance as much as we can, and we're having an effect, and we pray that that will continue. We pray that those that are considering secession from this monstrous thing called the United States, that will continue, because the states need to retain their sovereignty, Father. We developed as colonies, which became states. We never gave up our sovereignty. I know the world tries to tell us that we did, but you and I know, Father Yahweh, that that's just not true. The states have sovereignty. The states have it. And we have it because of our walk with you. It's not because of any legislation or a piece of paper with ink on it. It's a real-time relationship with our Creator. And the land that we walk upon is by right yours, that you bequeath to us for our use, but also for us to protect and honor it. We failed you. We have failed miserably in that task. But with your help, Father Yahweh, let's bury the invaders. Let's bury those who would be your enemies, as Luke 19, verse 27 so clearly says. Those that would not that you rule over them, may they be slain, whether by the sword, by a plague, by natural disasters, by violence, whatever you choose, Father Yahweh. Destroy them. The sooner the better, so this poor earth can breathe again, the water can flow freely and clean, the air can be cleansed, the vegetation can return to its natural state and be nutritious and helpful to mankind, and men would learn to live amongst each other in peace and harmony, instead of constantly at war and in strife because of outside influences by Satan's kids. But in the meantime, Father Yahweh, we praise you for our mothers out there, the ones that do it in the spiritual, sacred sense, and for the ladies that get it in these dark days of feminism, that understand their place and honor it, and honor the men who walk with you and try to do the right thing. We're coming together as a family, Father Yahweh. We may not be great in number, but we're strong in our faith and in our walk and in our spiritual connection. We ask that you would bless that further, and that miracles may continue. Bless the hearts of those that love you and work to do your will upon this earth. Forgive us our sins, Father Yahweh. Help us and give us great strength. Give us good discernment to see clearly through the lies and deception, and to understand your word by the Holy Spirit and by the Scriptures. And always we ask that you would protect us from our enemies. We ask this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.